Blog Talk Radio.
Executing on our plan.
Yes, we are, to bring you the Andy and Amanda Show. It's 5 o'clock somewhere, especially in the UK. We know it's 5 o'clock there. It's 9 a.m. on the Pacific coast here, and we know that it's about noontime there on the East Coast, wherever it is in your corner of the world where you're listening and tuning into our show. You are listening to the Andy and Amanda Show. Don't touch that dial, folks. How you doing? Amanda's with us in the UK. My name's Andy Kimball here in
I
was on a roll. Should we try it again? Wait a minute. I was doing pretty good there for a minute. I was like sounding professional. You know what I mean?
It's okay. It's okay. Yeah.
Okay.
But take it away, Andy.
Okay, here I am.
Basically, he's here.
I'm here on the Andy Amanda Show. Andy Kimball and Amanda Love with you folks for next hour or so, talking about whatever we feel like talking about, some news. Romance, sex. We were going to have a real estate show today. That's been our special guest is had a commitment and couldn't make it today. So we're going to talk about whatever we talk about, I guess, today. And we hope you will join the conversation at 515-605-9888. It's like a free form Monday. We'll call the show and whatever you feel like talking about. Last week we had a real fun time with some callers talking about romance, pickup lines, sex, breaking up, commitment, and all those kind of things. That was a fun week last week, wasn't it?
It was. It was really interesting, and I was so surprised at how everyone jumped on that. I was like, wow, okay. It was good, though. Really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it was a fun time. Always a fun time talking about things that you don't typically hear. Coffee drink. It's too strong this morning. Ooh, wee.
I've been doing that myself. I've been clearing my throat a lot lately. Allergies, unfortunately.
Yeah, do you have hay fever type allergies?
Yes, I always get.
So do I.
Every year, yeah.
Me too.
I
swear, every time I'm on the air with you doing the show, I learn something else that you and I have. And again, you know, many of you don't know that, you know, we say this all the time, but just so you know that Amanda and I have never met. She is in the UK. I'm in the US. We're 8,000 miles away, and we've never met. But this is really cool because in all the shows we've done together, we're learning more and more about all the things we have in common. And we've walked this planet our whole lives when we met on this to do the show together. And it's like, wow, we've got all these things in common. It's just very cool.
It's so cool. It really is. Yeah, I mean, this, like I said, I never used to have hay fever at all, and I have heard you can get it at any time of life and any time in the year as well. So I always thought you got it in the summer, you know, like when it got warmer, and especially in spring onwards. But no, I find out that you can get it pretty much any time. So I was like, oh, okay, well, it's disappointing. So yeah, sneezing and itchy eyes sometimes, and oh, it's annoying. It really is.
I've had it my whole life. It's been you know. Well, I remember even back in elementary school, hay fever season, my eyes would swell up and I'd be scratching and they'd look like golf balls. I'd go to the nurse all the time. I used to get two shots every 5 days, and allergy shots, which did really nothing. And yeah, I've had really bad hay fever. Cat, I'm allergic to cats, hay, all sorts of pollens. And it's just been with me, you know, just something like
that. Wow.
Now there's
maybe
all sorts
should do
of.
What? Sorry, go on. Go on.
Yeah, there's Claritin and that type of non drowsy allergy medicine that seems to take the edge off.
Yeah.
That I've learned over the years.
Maybe it's worth doing what Mark Lester said. Do you remember he said that? Oh, no, it was me who shared this fact. He did acupuncture on a friend of mine. And this was many years ago, about, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. And it cleared up his hay fever. And I was just like, whoa, acupuncture cleared up hay fever. You would not link the two. You would, and you know,
no.
When you think about it, you just think of other health conditions, but not hay fever. It's like, wow, that's so cool. Yeah.
That's right. And he's going to be joining us again soon and talk. Maybe we'll talk more about that. And for those of you who don't know, Mark Lester was the. As an 8-year-old or 9-year-old, played the part of Oliver in that classic film, and he's gone on to start a very successful and effective medical clinic in the UK, in Amanda's hometown, really, and the Carlton Clinic. And he's going to come back on and talk more about what he's doing these days, and we look forward to having him back. And we'll stay tuned for when that's going to start happening, but pretty soon. We're orchestrating it now. So anyway...
Yeah.
We're doing it. So how was your weekend? Yes.
yes. About to ask the same thing. Yeah, my weekend was so blessed. I finally got to hang out with my other sister. I don't get to see as often because she lives in another town. But it's kind of like I say another town. It's more of a village, but it's on the outskirts of my town. And so. With work and everything like that, she's, you know, quite busy and family and stuff. So getting to see each other hasn't been ideal. Of course, we're locked down as well. So, yeah, I got to hang out with her yesterday and we had a barbecue and stuff. And so that was really fun, really enjoyed it. Was out in the sun all day, went across the fields to take the dog for a walk and ate some yummy food. And as you know, Andy, got a tattoo. So that was really... Surprising! I did not expect to go to barbecue and come back for a tattoo.
yes. Wow, good for you.
Thank you. How about you?
Well, Friday night I hung out with a couple pilot friends of mine from airline pilot friends of mine, and we went out and got some. I couldn't tell you what kind of cocktail they were—the chocolate something, liquor something rather. They were mighty fine. They went back to his place and pounded down some beers till 4:30 in the morning.
Ooh, nice.
So I crashed at his place, and I sent you some videos the next day when I got up instead of going right home. We live across the street from a marina. So I started recovering most of the day. You know when you drink too much the night before? You know, went to bed at 4:30, got up at like 9 or whatever, and spent the rest of the day kind of, oh, my God. And I was supposed to go down and hang out and jam with these musicians at this place I've been going to on Saturday nights, and I just didn't feel like driving all the way back down to the beach side and you know.
Yeah.
And so Saturday I just recovered, and yesterday was an R&R day. Just
nice.
You know. Yeah, yesterday. Nice. And normally I spend some part of Sundays even putting things together to start getting ready to do this show for the week. And yesterday I was just like, fuck that. Nah, we'll wing it this week. We'll wing it. You know. So yesterday was definitely it.
Sorry,
Glenn.
Yeah, yeah.
And I also washed and waxed my Ford Flex, which needed it desperately. It was 85 degrees here yesterday.
Oh, nice.
In Southern California, yeah.
Wow.
85.
Wait, hold up. Wait a minute.
No, I'm serious. It was. It was hot.
I can't remember what it was in Fahrenheit here yesterday. It's the same temperature today. It's about... 16 degrees here at the moment, Celsius.
That's in the 60s. That's beautiful. That's gorgeous.
Yeah, it's gorgeous temperature.
Yeah.
So I've really been enjoying it. But so I found out something disturbing yesterday when we took the dog for a walk over the fields. That apparently, locally, people have been going around stealing dogs whilst they've been out walking with them. And
stealing frogs? Dogs, I'm sorry.
Yeah. And they even broke into somebody's home. Like, there's this home on the hill.
Oh, my God.
While the family was there at 7 a.m. in the morning, and these people broke into these people's homes to steal the dogs because they wanted them for breeding. I think that's absolutely disgusting to do that. And so my niece yesterday was like saying to myself and my sister, go careful, please. There's people going around stealing these dogs at the moment. And I was like, oh, my God. So we were so cautious. The dog was belting across the field chasing pheasants. And we were like, no, calling the dog back. And we were like, got to be careful in case these people steal these dogs. It makes you so paranoid. It's awful to live that way. Mm. It really is.
And oh, my gosh.
I think it's disgusting. Yeah, it's awful.
So so people are stealing these dogs. Have they ever been recovered? Do we know what are they doing with these dogs?
Apparently the police came across, they did like a seize of 20 dogs that were reported stolen. So they managed to find these 20 dogs and return them. But the fact that these people, whoever these people are going around stealing these dogs just to make a high profit off a certain breed of dog. I forget which breed it is now, but, you know, I just disgusted. It's like, go out there, get a job, do something decent with your life, you know? Stop stealing other people's family members. Because let's face it, I see dogs as, and they're not just pets to me. They become a member of the family. You love them, they love you. It's a beautiful thing that you have with them. And when they're stolen, especially children, get absolutely devastated when a family pet goes missing. And to think that these people are doing that to families and just these poor dogs, putting these poor dogs through, breeding them 24/7 just so they can make a lot of money off them. It's disgusting, Andy. Absolutely disgusting. Mm. Ugh, makes me sick.
Oh, God, I can't imagine them. I love dogs. Yeah. I had an amazing, amazing golden retriever named Jake.
Aww.
We got it 7 weeks old. We put down about a year and a half ago, and he was just, you know, from 7 weeks old, he was such a, you know, part of the family. He wasn't even like a dog. He was like just Jake, line leader, hiking, camping, been across the country with me 3 times, you know, in a car.
Wow.
You know, camping, a camping pal, you know, everything we did, Jake was like, he was just, everybody loved him. He's such, you know, a lot of people think of golden retrievers as being kind of aggressive and peppy and stuff, and Jake was just like, you know, I think my oldest daughter picked him out, you know, when she was younger and he was 7 weeks old. It's funny because we went to go to a breeder. We drove 4.5 hours to Western Pennsylvania to this really reputable breeder. And they had a bunch of goldens and, they had them out. And one was like chewing on things and running around chewing on things. The next one was still chewing on things, but not as much. Then the next one we saw was just kind of, hey, Snoopy. And that's the one, of course, Justine, I think it was 12 at the time or something, picked or younger, I don't know, and she picked him up. I picked the one in the middle, like not the real lazy one, but not the real aggressive one right in the middle. So she wanted that one. I wanted the one in the middle. And and then we figured maybe two. And I wanted to call – we knew the dog was going to be called Jake. And I don't know if you remember the Blues Brothers movie. Do you remember with Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi?
Yes.
A lot of listeners know the Blues Brothers. Well, I was going to call them, if I got two of them, I was going to name them Jake and Elwood. You know, put sunglasses on them, put hats, you know, the Blues Brothers. You know, I can imagine walking my two goldens and saying, hey, they look so cute. What are their names? Jake and Elwood. And calling my dog, Elwood! You know? So we even called my wife from the breeder and said, I said, hey, babes, what do you think about having two? And she's like, you know, let's think about it. Maybe we go, because we just had to pick them up at that time. Then we were taking the kids to Disney World for a week and then going back up north and driving out there and picking up the dog, you know. So we thought about it. We figured, you know, maybe we start with one. We can always add, you know, we're coming from having 33 hamsters to nothing to a dog. So we figured maybe. anyway, we started with one, but Jake, we, you know, the one that Justine wanted, and boy, I'll tell you what a treat that he was, just because he was like that his whole life, just really docile and easy, and you know, just, you know, golden retrievers sometimes and like labs are known to bark a lot. You know, he didn't bark except if he really had to, if a stranger was coming or something. Even then, he'd check him out first. Somebody would break into the house, he'd hold the flashlight. You know what I'm saying? So.
I've got that image in my mind now.
I know where to keep the goods. Come on this way.
Yes, I can't be anything to eat?
Mr. Poole, sir. Is that new? Anyway, but he was great. It was sad to put him down. I was thinking of getting another one. I mean, really thinking of getting another gold. I wouldn't get any of the kind of, they shed, right? Golden shed. But I got to tell you something. They're the most popular dog in America. And I grew up, you know, English sheepdog, you know, old English sheepdog with the fur over the eyes and the whole thing. And I grew up with a big old English Tudor house that we had, and this old English sheepdog sitting out front was such a postcard photo, you know.
Wow.
But we got the Golden, and before getting a Golden Retriever, it's one thing, we did the dog show here, pet show. Before getting the Golden, I wanted to read about them.
Hmm.
And they said, if you are a, you know, working family, everybody's away, you know, there's nobody home during the day, this is not the dog for you. You know, the Goldens need attention. If you have a, you know, a significant other or a wife or husband, whatever, and you both go off to work and, you know, you come back, you're going to find your furniture bitten and all this because they need, they, you know, they just, and I'll tell you something. And I was a touring musician and, you know, away a lot and so forth. And my wife was away a lot. We come home and the dog would just speak to, how was your day? Oh, who is this? How was your day? He was laying around, nothing hurt, nothing, just well-behaved. And he was that way his whole life, you know. And it was something, you know, and then we had him for the short of 12 years. And then we thought, okay, maybe I would get another. Now, he did shed. And sometimes you'd vacuum the carpet. We had wall-to-wall carpeting back in our Pennsylvania house. And you would run your foot or a shoe across the carpet, and you'd rake up the equivalent of enough fur to make a coat with. Even though you couldn't plainly see it on the carpet, you know, so I'd be paced. Sometimes I'd be on the phone. I'd just walk around the living room, just rubbing my foot back and forth against the carpet and raking up all this fur. Unbelievable. They shed a lot, Goldens. But if you groom them a lot, hey, kids, groom the dog. Yeah, right, Dad. If you groom them every day, you do away with their shedding. They won't, you know, it ends up in a comb or brush, not on your floor.
Yeah.
But after having and owning a Golden Retriever and wanting a German Shepherd, that was the other dog we were looking at initially, I would never get another breed. I mean, Goldens are everything that you hear and read about, and no wonder why they're always used in Hollywood movies and TV shows. Everybody's got the Golden Retriever.
Yeah.
Amazing dogs. I mean, I could go on forever. And I used to like to think it was Jake, you know, like it was, oh, this dog's really wow. But it's the breed. You know, there's different variations, you know, but the breed. So, folks, if you're looking, if you're in the market for a dog, definitely check out getting a Golden. Now, since Jake has died, I thought about getting another one, but I got to tell you, I'm really enjoying the freedom because having a dog is like having a kid, but it never ends.
It's so,
you know,
true.
Kids grow up.
Yeah.
The responsibility, you know, you can, you know, but having a dog, you're out with friends, you're over somebody's house late night. Oh, why don't you crash? You know, stay here or whatever. Or, you know, no, I got to go walk the dog. Got to go let the dog out. Got to go take care of the dog. Got to go take care of the dog. Unless the dog's with you, of course. But so I am really enjoying the freedom. And now, instead of getting a dog, I'm looking at getting a yacht. Mm-hmm.
A what?
I know, a yacht, a big boat.
Oh, yeah.
A big sailboat, yes. I'm thinking replacing and having another pet, a pet on the water, you know? And I figured maybe, and how many times have you seen a boat go by with the dog on it? Maybe, dog on it.
Dog on it.
So, yeah, maybe getting a boat or something. But I'm, you know, I'll tell you something, though. There's a tremendous sense of freedom not having a dog.
Yeah.
I miss having a dog, but, you know, it's definitely.
Yeah, I got to admit, I can appreciate that myself with this past year and so many of my life circumstances changing. And used to be around three dogs, and now I'm not around any apart from experiencing the two that my mother has. And I get to have cuddles and stuff from them, so that's a beautiful thing. But there's still moments where I really miss having that dog present all the time, and just because of all the love they give you, and it's a beautiful thing. But yeah, like you said, there's a lot of freedom. But I think if I was presented with a dog, and you know, they said, yeah, this really needs a home, I don't trust anybody else but you, I would seriously consider it. But I think I'd have to make sure that I could manage to balance out getting that dog trained in a way that it was able to be away from me should I need to leave it with people I trust, or you know, some sort of situation where you could still have that freedom and still experience the joys of having that dog. But I don't know.
I love it. I hear a caller. I hear a lot of static. It must be from another planet. There's a lot of static and weird space noises. And it sounds like
I hear
you have
static.
A call. hear it. You hear it. I hear it too. Let's tune in here. Let's tune it in.
Yes.
Yeah. Let's tune it in. Wait a minute.
I actually like women much more than I like men.
No, you do away with him. Another caller. Okay, next caller. Who do we have on the line?
You have me on the line. How you doing, guys?
Hey,
what's up, guys? How you doing? How's everybody? Happy Monday.
Yeah, happy Monday to you.
Happy. It's another Monday, 5 o'clock somewhere show. You know, Cornell, it's noon where you are. It's about 17:20 or 5:20, as they say. I forget what they do over there in the UK. And I hope you guys over there and girls are celebrating happy hours. 5 o'clock. Cordell, how was your weekend?
Oh man, my weekend was awesome, man. I had a great time. I relaxed and just chilled out and everything, and just talked to you and Amanda.
No, we love it. Yeah, we were saying. Well, I was saying that You already are aware of this. I spoke to you already, but about the barbecue and telling Andy all about it and how I went for a barbecue and came away with a tattoo. I mean, but yeah, it was a lot of fun, sweetheart.
Yeah, barbecue is great, man. I barbecue all year round.
They're amazing. I just love barbecue food so much. Oh
yes, man. Oh my gosh, I'm ready to barbecue now. Let's barbecue.
Let's get one going.
What's up, Andy?
You know, we're just kind of hanging out. We're just talking about, I don't know what got us on the subject, but we're talking about, I don't know if you heard Cornell, but Amanda was saying earlier that there's a new ring of thieves in the UK, where she is, where people are stealing. People are stealing dogs, right? People are stealing.
Stealing. Oh, man.
They're hurting dogs, but they're stealing people's dogs, even breaking into people's houses and taking dogs. And I love dogs. I hear this news, and I'm like, dogs are members of people's families. They're not just they're such, and I also think owning a dog is a great stress reliever.
Yeah.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I agree with that.
They say people with like bipolar, they usually get dogs and everything, just to relax them and everything. Or people that have mental problems or something like that, psychological problems, usually you tell them to get a dog or some type of animal to basically to keep you calm.
Yeah, I hear. So I have 20 of that as well.
No, I'm just joking.
Yeah, apparently cats have that, when they purr, supposedly it's like a healing vibration. And I remember, I didn't really know this at the time, and I remember we had two cats, me and my ex. And I would be led on the sofa, I'd be awake early hours in the morning, not being able to function or sleep properly, and I was going through some like real bad anxiety at the time. And I remember the cat coming up, climbing up and laying on my chest, right across my heart. And I was like, it just led there, just facing me, just started purring. I was like, okay. Okay, this is cool. I'll roll with it, And then I find out afterwards that supposedly they're very aware and sensitive of people's conditions and all sorts of things. And their purr is quite often a healing thing to supposedly affect the vibration in the body and stuff. And I remember afterwards when the cat got off, I was like, wow, I actually feel a little better. So I put two and two together and thinking, okay, so maybe that's what it was. And I just find that really fascinating. Whether that's true or not, I don't know, but it certainly did something, that's for sure. So
I wish I didn't do that to my cat.
Hey, Cornell.
Yes.
What's your favorite pickup line?
My favorite pickup line is get out. No, my favorite pickup line is like, what are you doing today? Something like that. How's your day? What are you doing?
We were talking about this on Friday, and I recalled, I remembered something we didn't get to pick up on Friday, and that was, I was talking to a friend of mine a while back, and because I know nothing about this, as we expressed last week, I've never really done it effectively, never really done it, period. But I remember trying one time, and he said, Andy, just go up to a woman that you're attracted to, and you say, like, hi, my name is Mike, whatever. And you go on, and see, get reactions. So I said, okay, I'll try that. So I'm at this great establishment with, tons of people walking all around, and men and women and, attractive looking people. And there's a lot of, activity and, Things are in an upswing and a great mood. So I tried it. I figured, okay, I went up to a girl and I said, hi, my name is Mike. And it worked. I couldn't believe it. The conversation's going on and on and on. She says, so Mike, anyway, and I said, who's Mike? And she said, that's you. I said, that's not my name. Oh, you lied to me.
Oh,
because he said, hey, try it. Like, my name is Mike. I figured, okay, that's a great pickup line. So I'm like, okay, hey, my name's Mike. Oh, well, it didn't last too long.
Okay, you're right.
Oh,
okay,
well.
Hi, Mike.
Wow.
You know, he told me, he said, you just go up and you say something like, you know, you go up to a girl, you say, like, you go up and you say, hi, my name's Mike. Really? And it will work. You just watch, then turn it over to her and see what happens. So I walked up and said, okay, hi, my name's Mike. And it indeed did work for a while.
Wow.
Until I had to tell her my name wasn't Mike.
Oh. Maybe you should have said John.
Oh, you could have said it was your nickname. John. You could have said, oh, yeah, oh, actually, it's a nickname. Oh, that's funny.
You people are sick.
Yeah, right.
Oh, my God.
I don't really have a pickup line at all. I just don't bother because we've had this discussion last week, but I don't try to pick up people. So I don't really have a pickup line. I'm just one of those people who just makes conversations, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because you never know who you might be picking up or pick up line. It might be the guy from Chainsaw Massacre. You know what I'm
saying? Yeah. Oh, my God. That's a scary thought. That's a scary thought, Cornell.
Yes, it is.
Too many of those movies.
Oh, my God. You follow me home.
Yes. Yeah.
This is, you know, this is one in our Andy Demandia show poll. And I'm just looking at a couple emails. How's this pickup line? This is from an email. You're the only one in here wearing XYZ, and I like it. You know, and be like, you know. So you're the only one in here wearing that blouse, and I love it. You know, I like it. And that's something you absolutely cannot say to another girl because it's a reaction to her in this exact moment. It's genuine. It's something. You know, it's not a generic pickup line. You know, I really like your blue whatever. You know, I really like, you know, well, I like your something.
Yeah.
And when, you know, for other guys, I would imagine are watching, you know, people trying to pick somebody up and they're watching this and say, how that guy is, what's he doing that's engaging this conversation? You know, pretty amazing, though, I think. I got to try that. See, not that I'm, you know, just part of our Andy and Amanda research I'll do here. And I'll get back to you.
Yeah, when you tell me the guy says these things.
The takeaway is that you say something to her that you can't say to any other woman because it's something about what she specifically is wearing and what she's doing in that moment. An experience that you can observe that you're both and having right now, you know, something, a drink, you both ordered the same drink. You both, you know, have the same appetizer. You both, you know, she's wearing a blue blouse. You're wearing a blue shirt and she's wearing jeans and you're wearing jeans. You're twins. You match. Hey, you know, we both match. Not that I've ever tried it, but I just, Amanda, would that work? If I woke up to you, a man walks up to a woman in a bar and says, hey, if I walked up to you and said that, like you're wearing something attractive, you know, that I saw that was really cool and attractive, and I walked up to you and said, hey, I love your sweater or something like that. That sounds to me like it can actually be some good advice. Would that work? What would your reaction be?
They wouldn't work on me. I guess because I think I don't expect people to come up to me or come on to me in any way, shape, or form. However, I know that many men try to approach women with all sorts of ways to start a conversation or get something going. So I guess in my mind, that would be in the back of my mind if somebody came up to me and said, oh, yeah, fine, that thing you're wearing, I really love it. And like you said, the only one in here wearing that, that's awesome. However, I guess it depends on the delivery of it and how much eye contact they were making with you, whether it seemed like they were trying to make an effort. Because I think if it's very casual, then you know, that can put that compliment there and that person feels like, oh, they just pay me a beautiful compliment. Oh, I really like that. And then there's no real, like, persistence after that, because obviously a woman will quite often get picked up at a bar or whatever, and it's quite often or not, men will approach women and try to start these conversations and things like that, so that women generally do expect pick-up lines. So if it's kept casual and they're not looking like they're trying too hard, I think that can really work. For me, it would be in my mind that this person's probably just trying to, you know, start this conversation with me, and because it wants to go somewhere. And I think that the only thing that's ruined that for me would be the fact that people have done that to me on social media so much.
I'm trying to put myself in this situation if it were me, and I'm too shy to do this. I wouldn't have I couldn't do it. I don't think. Maybe I could. I don't think I could do it. But I'm just thinking, putting myself like just in my head, putting myself in that situation, I'd probably go up, if I were to do this, and say something like, you know, I love that, let's say, I'm just going to use this for example. I love that that blouse, it really accentuates your eyes. That's all. I just want to say that. That's all. I just want to let you know, because I noticed it from afar, and it looks, your eyes and that blouse look great together. And that's all I want to say. Hi.
Yeah.
Hi, my name's Mike.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. Hi, my name is Mike. John.
But whatever it is, as long as your comment comes from something about the current moment, you know, it's genuine, it's authentic, it's going to make her feel special, and instantly might gain attraction right away. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah,
it might.
Possible.
Now that I think about it. Now I'm just thinking about it right now. Because I've never asked a girl out who I've just met on a date ever in my entire life. But women have come up to me. And I'm not patting myself on the back. I just been traveling a lot of times in my life. I traveled as a jet pilot or a touring solo musician, and I go out by myself because that's where I'm at. I'm not going to sit in a hotel room all day long. I just go out and hang out and I observe what's going on, because I'm kind of, you know, I'm not good at meeting people that way. So, but I'm thinking back in my single days, that girls would come up to me and talk and always compliment my eyes. And I used to think, is that, you know, something like, I bet you get this all the time, but you have really beautiful eyes. I've gotten that a lot. And it's worked the other way, too. And I'm just thinking what girls have done. You know, here I am, a guy, going out by myself, hanging out in the bar by myself. And do girls pick up guys? They sure do. And I'm just thinking, as a guy in a bar or in a restaurant or in a public whatever, gathering of some sort, what lines have girls used on me? Has always been my eyes. As a matter of fact, they probably got me more. They've even got me. I remember having, when I was way back, I had a girlfriend. You know, I think it was my early 20s. She was in her teens, and we're sitting with our legs dangled in her family pool in the back. We got some kind of disagreement. She was really mad at me, and she gets up. She says, "That's all you have is those eyes," and she storms away.
Wow.
That's all you have is those eyes. I'm like,
okay.
So it's worked both ways. I don't know why I'm hanging out with him. What an idiot. But if it weren't for those eyes, forget it.
Oh, wow.
But that's what girls have said to me. You know, complimented a body part. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
at least one of them, right?
Is it possible to stay attracted to the other partner because the relationship might not be perfect? You know, you might have some philosophical differences and some other things, and maybe flat out bored or whatever, or not be intellectually stimulated enough, but you have great sex and that's what keeps you together.
I don't know, I guess. I don't know, I think I'm sure there'd be people out there who argue that. I mean, it's possible. I mean, I think you've got to find a way. It takes two, right, to make any relationship work. And if something is struggling, then talk about it. And I know that, you know, we spoke to the caller last week and they were saying about communication isn't as important as we think, but it all starts with communication. If nothing changes, then yeah, reconsider it. But it takes that communication to first find out if things can be changed, and then quite often things can be changed. And yeah. I don't know.
It's funny. You know, it's funny. The line as you get older, it's not my fault that the world continues to go around the sun at amazing speeds, and every day is a new day, and you get older by one day every day, and you get those days turn into weeks, into months, into years, and before you know it, you go from 20 to 50 in a heartbeat, and yeah. It's not my fault. You know, you can't help that. But it's funny to watch the pickup lines change. You know, it goes from, wow, great eyes, to here, let me help you up, Pops. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Here, Pops, let me help you up. You have a walker, I can get you?
No.
You're
funny.
And then there's, of course, the question which we've asked before on the show.
When you go out with a date with a guy, like, how soon should you guys, I guess, have sex?
I guess that all comes down to their own moral standing on that, I guess. You know, some people feel okay to do that on a first date, but I don't know. I think it's, you should get to know somebody first, right? I mean, it's just sexual attraction to start off with, and then that could end up not developing into much at all. So mm-hmm. I guess if you at least get to know somebody first and then that develops, that's a pretty cool thing. But I don't know. Not for me, definitely not for me. I don't know. What about you guys?
Cornell?
My thing is this. I like to be the person that, how can I say it? If a person force themselves on me, it for some reason it scares me, and I'll be like, no, it's not the one. I like to have the challenge. You understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't want to be. Mm-hmm. I like to be the aggressor. But if a person is like, yo, let's get together and let's do something, I'll be like, yo, you too easy, man. I'm like, yo, I don't want to deal with that because there's something behind this.
Yeah, I mean, there's the aspect.
But to each his own. Yeah, it's to each his own. Some people does it on, like, a first day or something like that. Maybe they're very attracted to each other. But it's something about me. I got to get to know this person. I'm like, yo, dude, this person could be, like, out there, you know?
Well, yeah, mm-hmm. That's it. You just don't know them, do you? So it's kind of like you don't know who you're sleeping with. And I think that,
diseases are still out here. you know what I mean? It's like forget about all the other diseases, you know? It's still the same diseases out here.
I don't know if men feel the same way, but I think for women, you know, giving yourself away to somebody can be quite a personal thing, right? And I guess it should be seen as a personal thing. And when you're sharing yourself with somebody else you've not known for, like, many hours, that's kind of like, I see it as a bit of, like, you know, no self-respect. Because you're just willingly giving your body away just for this pleasurable moment. And some people often regret doing that, you know, straight away. They wake up the next morning next to this person and think, oh, crap, did we just – we slept together and now I feel, like, dirty and, like, I've done something wrong and I don't usually do this. And it makes them question themselves. And if you feel like that, then surely – it's not good to just jump into it like that. I don't know. I mean,
You know what? There's some people that really like people like that because percentage-wise, people love a one-night stand, and women or men that's like that, and they were like, oh, man. And then they think it's a joke until they go to the doctor and be like, you know?
Yeah.
You know, here's what's – and I have not been part of that scene for –
Since E.T.?
Yeah, since E.T. Yeah, it's about that long. No, But as a matter of fact, you know, I've had fun before with girlfriends. We talk, you know, we're all kind of frisky, and we talk, and we say, you know, it'd be cool. And, you know, I have this girlfriend who's really cute and pretty looking, and, you know, or, you know, living down in Florida and wearing, you know, skimpy clothes and stuff. And we'd be like, you know, we talk about this similar subject, you know, and we'd say, let's go to a bar, and I'm going to stand back. I'm just curious, because I'd say the same thing. I've never gone up into a girl, except one time. One time, well, that's a separate thing. But I've gone up to a girl and asked her out on a date or anything like that, or continued a relationship from meeting a girl in a bar. Never happened in my life. So I was curious about what guys say and what is that conversation, as we talked about last week. So we'd go out to a bar, like, you know, living down in Florida, and we'd stage this ahead of time. Let's go out, and you go up to the bar and grab a seat at the bar, and then I'm going to sit at a table, or I'll stand across the room. I just want to watch how many guys go up to you. Let's just try it. And we have fun with that. Which she'd sit at the bar by herself. Then I would join in later. I'd say, hey, you know, oh yeah, here's my boyfriend Andy. Okay. And then I'd ask later, so what did they say? Like, how did they go up and, you know, because I'm curious about that, because it's something I've always watched and never been able to do. You know what I mean? But, yeah. You know, and also here's what I have heard as well, is that oral sex has become the new kissing.
Okay.
Mhm. I've heard, especially in younger populations, especially, you know, high school and stuff, and, you know, young kids. You hear about, you know, that's it's common now. I've actually heard this from moms and so forth. That, oh, you know, that's what, you know, oh yeah, that's what they're doing now. You know, used to park a car and whatever.
Really?
Now they park a car and you know do that.
Mhm. Wow. Yeah. Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Wow. I don't. It's the point of who the receiver is, right?
Wow.
Hey, yeah, man, to each his own, man. It's cool, you know, to me. I'm for it and everything, but make sure that you make sure that person clean themselves.
I remember going,
yes,
to a party when I was hanging with Joe. Remember Joe, the Flying Fayhands? You know, Joe and I were pilots, mm-hmm, together for an airline way back when, and Joe keeps talking about this to this almost every time he sees me. And that we went to a big air traffic controllers party one time. A bunch of pilots were invited, and we went, and there was this girl who I was talking with, you know, it was a big open bar, and we're, you know, they rented a big restaurant bar or whatever, and this girl comes up to me, and we're talking, and she starts telling me how great she is at blowjobs, you know, oral sex. She's really, really good. And that she'd like to do that to me. Like, imagine going to a bar and meet this girl and say, you know, I'll have to give you, you know, that, you know, whatever. I'm like, me? I mean, I, you know, again, I'm very modest. I'm very shy. I'm the wrong guy you asked for that. I got my dog. I got to go walk my dog. I'm sorry. I got, you know, but then Joe said, no, we were drinking a lot. And Joe did say that, and he keeps reminding me of this. He said, yeah, you were gone for a while. You know, everybody seen Andy? Then you came back and told us the story, but I have no recollection of anything happening. I don't think anything did. But he says, yeah, you did. I said, no, I didn't. And you did. You disappeared for a while. I'm like, no. But it just, and here's the crazy thing about that, is that she had a boyfriend.
Right.
She had a boyfriend. And and I knew I didn't know who the boyfriend was, but I knew she had a boyfriend. I knew that she did, you know, she was, but, and on, you know, just thinking back, it's just very, I'm just thinking my own life, you know, being in situations where, you know, I can't say what guys pick up lines to girls are. I can only say what my experience is in my own life and going out to parties and social places. The few times where women have come up to me, and what I've heard, you know, my life experience is. Share your life experience, 515-605-9888. We're talking about initial meetings at public places, where it's a bar or a party, a social gathering of some sort, how you meet members of, you know, that you want to date, of whether it be the same sex, opposite sex, whatever it might be, how you meet that person, and what lines have you used? What lines have they used on you on the Andy and Amanda Show? Again, our number here is 515-605-9888, and we want to hear from you. But anyway, so I just, you know, I'm just thinking back. I'm like going through the Rolodex here and thinking, okay, I remember that. And that's about it, because I don't have a whole lot of experience. I'm not one. I'm not
don't
one.
Don't you believe it?
And or have you ever had anybody come up to you and just say, like, you know, what's your favorite position? You know, and you get like this.
Doggy
style, like,
for sure.
Mm-hmm.
No, yeah. Can't say about too many people.
Not for me, but.
Oh, you know what else? My mind's racing. I'm going through like this fast motion of my life. You know, I had a business for a while way back. I've had like a few of them, and back then, your team members, even though you write the checks, but your team members and the people you bring on, you all work together. You're all friends. You're doing this together. Everybody's up and happy and knowing that they all, you know, there's no boss and kid. You know, we're all doing this together. You know, just, you know, I never played the role of a boss per se. You wouldn't look at me and you might introduce me to somebody else as a guy who owns the company, but you would never think of me as being, you know, it figuratively or technically on a day-to-day basis as your boss. You'd think of me, hey, that's Andy, you know, you're doing, you know, it's Andy, you know, whatever. And back then, which you can never get away with today. It's unbelievable, almost to a fault. You'd be able to have, you know, flirty, fun conversations and, you know, go up to, you know, Carol, whoever at the office, and you're laughing and having a fun time and say, so if I ever ask you, what's your favorite position? Today, sex harassment, oh my God, sex. But, you know, we'd laugh and it would go the other way around too, you know, and you just had so much fun, or you all go out to happy hour together and you start flirting with each other and talking. You know, even if you might have boyfriends or girlfriends. You know, it's harmless. We're not going to do anything. We're just talking and having fun, you know, talking about sex and picking up and flirting. And, you know, we laugh and all that. You could never do that today. You know, in a way, it's a shame. It's a shame. You know, oh, sexual harassment on the job. You know, sue. You know, call the cops.
Oh, my God. She looked at me a certain way. Like,
yeah, and I also understand how that can get out of hand and can be, don't get me wrong, I understand how it can be inappropriate, and I'm not obviously promoting that whatsoever. I think that's obviously wrong, and it does not have a place anywhere, workplace or otherwise. But the flirty, the fun, the laughing, you know each other, you're friends, hey, listen, Andy has a girlfriend, and they're great together. I would never, but I'm still going to flirt with him and have fun because he's fun, and we can get away with conversations that maybe you couldn't with other people. And so you have those conversations, but today it just seems like, I just think the whole thing is a little overboard. And also, you know, you also hear about he touched the girl the wrong way. Or you hear songs about Joe Biden being demonstrative, how he likes to hug and whatever, and he'll make comments and, you know, I'm that way. You know, I give friends hugs, especially women friends. You know, I mean, I don't do it in any way other than to show affection and laugh and fun and pat on the back and that kind of thing. And you hear these, and if some guys – we're girls, you know, it works both ways. You know, people don't acknowledge that, but it does. If some, what's in the news, though, is that some guys will go up to a girl and in the workplace or to, if you're a politician, to an aide of some sort and be inappropriate either via an action or something you say, the girl can also say, you know, that's, I'm not into that and thank you, but, you know, that's not, you know, let's not go there. And end it right then and there. End it.
Yeah.
So now you're hearing, well, 7 years ago, this Senate candidate or this present senator touched me on the head or gave me a smack on the rear or something like that. And he should resign.
Wow.
Give me a – you know, the girl can just say, you know, at that time and just say – and because people do things just because, you know, it's fun and there's no harm and you don't mean anything and there's no intent and there's no, you know, you don't do it to pick up or to try to get laid. You know, there may be situations where I'm wrong and they do, you know, and of course that's a little different situation. But I'm just talking generically, obviously, that I just think this whole thing has gotten blown out of proportion and people do have voices. People can speak up. People can say, you know, I draw the line there. That's not appropriate. Let's not go there again. And not bring it up 27 years later and say, oh, he smacked me on the rear. And then the senator, you know, oh, you know, it was known, you know, in the headline news, harassment in the workplace, you know. And again, it's not just guys. Believe me, it's not just guys. But of course, guys, it's probably more prevalent, male to female. I'm sure it is,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But you know, in my own situation, in my life, I've had more girls come up to me that way than, because I'm very shy. I'm very laid back that way. And more girls have come up to me, and I can come back 27 years later and, you know, oh, you know, she came up to me and wanted to give me a blowjob. What? Yeah, she should resign.
Wow.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah.
So I just think it's because you do have a mouth, you have a voice, you have a, you know, even my own mother, who's 91 years old and very, you know, liberal and been there. She's had, you know, she's told me experiences in her life. You know, she's very open about her life and the past experiences and dating and, you know, maybe even sometimes too explicit in what she tells me about her previous life. But anyway, but she's told me that the same thing. Like, she's had people come up to her earlier, and even when she's married to my dad, you know, and before my dad passed away, they're married, and
yeah.
and even, you know, they go out to a club and see some celebrity comedians, and that comedian would say, hey, you know, what's your name? Oh, you know, well, I'm not. So you're married? Yeah. Oh, your husband here? Yeah. Get rid of him. I mean, it's famous celebrities. Get rid of him. I'll remember
wow.
that name. What's your name again? I'll remember. Get rid of him. You know, and so she, you know, and things like that, you know, and guys who have forced themselves on her. And she spoke up
and would say,
no. The answer is no. You don't cross that line. Not using those words, but saying that. And that would be the end of it, right then and there. And so when she even hears it, 91 years old, and she hears these stories and these news about guys meeting girls and this inappropriateness, she's the first one. She speaks out and says, you know, then just say something. You know, just say, you know what, that's not appropriate. I'm not into that. I have a husband or a boyfriend or whatever, and that's just a line that I don't like being crossed, but I understand it and appreciate your attraction to me and whatever, and call it, and end it right then and there.
Yeah.
You know, what,
yeah.
what's wrong with that? And then end it. And that's the end of it. And you know, dragging it out, making it news, make it all, you know, and by no means am I saying that harassment and intimidation in a sexual manner in the workplace or any other place in your life by somebody who's not invited to do that is appropriate, because indeed it is not. And it is, I don't want to make that very clear. But I just think, you know, when you hear about, you know, I just think it's gotten so blown out of proportion, and to take away, I don't know. Now you have to be so damn careful. You have to be so careful
yeah.
about what you say or how you look or what you do, or, you know, oh, you know,
it's expanded into other areas though, isn't it? It really has, because the mm-hmm. world has become extra sensitive to everything. I mean, it's not just workplaces. It's like the whole deal with calling a snowman. It's like, well, what about snow woman? It's like, come on now, really? What
mm-hmm.
what major effect does that really have on you?
Yeah.
By calling something a snowman. I mean,
yeah,
come on.
What about the snow woman, right? Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Cornell and I were talking on the phone over the weekend about racism and so forth, and mm-hmm. and saying, you know, what you know, could Archie Bunker, All in the Family, exist today? Could the Jeffersons exist today? And I'm just saying it's a damn shame. That's all.
Yeah.
It's a shame. Because
if you can't
laugh at yourself and say something, but it's done at, you know, could Don Rickles, the comedian Don Rickles, you know, Mr. Insult himself, can he exist as a comedian today?
It's a wonderful trait to be able to, this wonderful black man, Sam, I kid you, we know each other a lot of years, really. And I love the black people. We need you people, I swear, because no Jew's going to make up a train. I kid Sammy. You're a black man. I took a guess. If you ain't black, you fell into a bucket of M&Ms, I'll tell you. You, my good friend Freddie Prince, who's your buddy, and we need the Puerto Rican people. I quote the words of a great Puerto Rican, Manuel Hatesis, who said to me in New York, "You want more coffee?" I have based my whole humor on laughing at bigotry. I laugh at Will Chamberlain, ha 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 ha, but if you don't laugh back, it's not funny. I laugh at the blacks, the whites, the purples, mostly the blacks. Remember the words of George Foreman, who said after the Muhammad Ali fight, "Was I down?"
that, Sam. To the black people, remember the words of a great Negro, Johnson Jones, who said in Biloxi, Mississippi on a Saturday night, if the white man and the Negro can work in harmony, the people know that the white folk and the man is harmony with love. The man is now in a state hospital.
Rodney Dangerfield.
The chick in the hotel, I asked the bellhop to handle my bag. He started to feel up my wife. I said to him, I said, hey, buddy, who told you could play around my wife? He said, everybody. I got no respect here in California, I'll tell you
really?
That. Really? I got stuck the other day, you know. I wanted to go sightseeing. They took me on a tour of all the extras' houses. Now, but I'm running around, I gain weight back, Johnny. You
really?
Know what I mean? Hey, you don't eat properly in a road. You're running around all the time, you know, and it's tough to, you know, lose weight when you're in a road jumping around a bit, you know. And but I was much heavier. I was fat, you kidding. I was so fat when I got my shoes shined, I had to take the guy's word for it. I mean, I was fat, I'll tell you that. I mean, I was some fat girls too, I'll tell you that. Who? Now, one girl, she was so fat, she got in a scale, a card came out, said, one at a time, you know. She was fat.
Fat as a big girl.
Ooh. Remember how we met? I hit her with my car. She said to me, why don't you go around me? I told her, I didn't think I had enough gas. I'll tell you, too skinny is no good either, you know,
Johnny.
No good to be too skinny, you know. A guy died my block last week because he's skinny. Ooh.
Skinny, huh?
He was so skinny, the funeral had one pallbearer, a waiter, you know? Nah, but skinny's better than fat, I'll tell you that. Better for your skinny. Better for your health, you know, health. And that's what's important, your health.
Oh,
you kidding? I'm not a kid anymore. I'm getting old now.
Yeah.
I know I'm getting old. I'm at the age now, if I hear someone goes both ways, I figure it's number one and number two, you know?
Well, you know, some of these comedians that were so funny.
Or Richard Pryor.
Richard Pryor?
Yeah.
One thing I got out of it was magic I'd like to share with you, you know? It's like, I was leaving, and I was sitting in the hotel, and a voice said to me, he said, look around, what do you see? And I said, I see all colors of people doing everything, you know? And the voice said, do you see any niggas? I said, no. I said, you know why? Because there aren't any. And it hit me like a shot, man. I started crying and shit. I was sitting there, I said, yeah, I've been here 3 weeks. I haven't even said it. I haven't even thought it. And it made me say, oh my God, I've been wrong. I've been wrong. I got to regroup my shit. I mean, I said, I ain't gonna never call another black man a nigga. You know, because we never was no niggas. That's a word that's used to describe our own wretchedness. And we perpetuate it now because it's dead. That word's dead. We men and women, we come from the first people on the earth. You know, the first people on the earth were black people. Because anthropologists, white anthropologists.
So the white people go, that could be true, you know.
Yeah, Dr. Leakey and them found people remains 5 million years ago in Africa. You know them motherfuckers didn't speak French. So black people, we the first people had thought, right? We's the first one to say, where the fuck am I? And how do you get to Detroit? So you can take it for what it's worth. I know, like, I ain't trying to preach nothing to nobody. I'm just talking about my feelings about it. And I don't want them hip white people coming up to me calling me no nigga or telling me nigga jokes. I don't like it. I'm just telling you, it's uncomfortable to me. I don't like it when black people say it to me. I really don't no more. It's nothing. It don't mean nothing. So I love y'all, and you take that with you. I guess y'all say.
At yeah. Like, you know, what would it take? What is the conversation? Well, I guess we're having it right here on this show, right here. What conversation would it take to say, folks, lighten up, have a couple of chuckles, don't take it so seriously, you know, just get a life, would you? You know, really. I mean,
because it's getting ridiculous, man. It'll
it's
make
getting
no
ridiculous.
Sense. Any callers that don't like what we said, please call 515-605-9888. Speak your mind.
Speak your mind. If you don't like what you said, we might not put you on the show, but you can still call that number. If you like what we said, we'll put you on the show.
Yeah.
We might not listen, but, you know, we'll just...
I don't like arguing with people. I don't like fighting or arguing. I'm like, yes, dear. Take out the trash. Yes, dear. Clean the windows. Yes, dear. Did you do the laundry? Yes, dear.
I'm not good with confrontation. I'll be honest. I'm not good with confrontation. And racism has come up to be a major thing in the past for me because, you know, people have always come back at me with that regarding a same-sex relationship. And the only way I could ever describe to somebody what it's like to be singled out and, you know, looked down at and said everything about you is wrong comes down to some sort of ism. And because racism is so extreme, it's a great example to use, you know, for this, the whole homophobia thing, because the two kind of go hand in the hand with the extremities of the experience. Not that they are exactly the same, and this is where the problems lie. In the past, people have literally jumped down my throat and attacked me and abused me for even daring to use racism as an example for homophobia because, you know, they're like, what do you know about racism? You know, you're not a black person, you're not this race, you're not this. And I'm like, well, I'm white, and racism exists for me too.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
That's real true.
It's really true. Does. It's for everybody. It's not just for one race.
I'm just thinking of another story in my life. So I'm kind of rolodexing in my head here about my own experiences. And I remember being in a bar with some friends. I think we just come up from Florida for a visit, but we were all hanging out in this bar. And I met this, and one of the people, I didn't know what it was a girl, you know, we all met at somebody's house, then we all traveled to this bar together. And this girl was one of the folks, I didn't know who she was, a friend of a friend, who was part of our group and went to this bar. And that's where we started having a really great conversation. She was really pretty. I mean, she was a foxy looking girl. I remember what she looked like. I was very attracted to her. And we're talking and talking, and she said, you know, you have an accent of type. So let me think, Europe or Canada? And I'm like, no. She said, no. And you look like a European, like Greek or something. And I'm like, I think she can pick up lines. I'm like, no. Canada, no. And then she pauses, and then she looks at me, and she says, you're not Jewish, are you? And I am Jewish.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. You're not. I'll never forget that. I remember it like it happened yesterday. You're not Jewish, are you?
Wow.
And that was that. That was the end of it. That was that.
Yeah.
And wow. I just remembered this. What led up to it is she was trying to get if I was Jewish. So she'd say, this girl was Irish, you know, very, you know, just foxy Irish looking, you know, and she said, so what are you? I said, I'm Russian and Romanian. And that wasn't what she was looking for.
Right.
Like, you're Irish, what am I? I'm Russian Romanian. So she's trying to beat around the bush to find out if I was Jewish, which is a... It is a blood. It's not just religion, you know. Other, you know, if you're Catholic, you believe in certain things. But what are you? You're Irish. Well, if you're Jewish, that is your blood, you know. And you can also convert to Judaism, of course. You can become Jewish and believe what Jews believe in, which is done all the time, obviously. But being born Jewish, I don't care if you turn into being a Baptist Protestant, you're still born in a Jewish culture. Exactly.
Penguin.
You know, right. Yeah. So she is trying to figure out if I, because religiously I'm an atheist, you know. Well, I don't believe in the things that Jews believe in, you know. I don't believe in God. Jews believe in God. I don't, you know. So I'm religiously I'm not Jewish religiously, because I don't believe in the existence of any God. So trying to beat around the bush, trying to figure out if I was Jewish, and then finally she pauses and just says, "You're not Jewish, are you?"
Wow.
So, you know, and it's interesting. And so, you know, Cornell and I were talking over the weekend about, you know, things that, you know, it's, you know, racism. And as you said, Amanda, ism, you know, the ism. Ism.
Racism is, to me, and don't quote me, I think it's the way you are brought up. To me, that's my perspective. But in my life, did I ever encounter racism and all that stuff? Probably did. never paid it any mind, never went to the next level with it. I just kept going. And to be honest with you, sometimes racism comes in the same culture too. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah. Oh, it very much does. Yeah.
So you might call another race racist, but you're racist about your own culture.
Interesting.
Yeah.
And I remember Cornell and I having a conference call. And Cornell, you might want to elaborate on this a bit too, because Cornell was saying in this call, and correct me if I'm wrong, that his life experience, where he, you know, the black experience. I remember having his call about the black experience and the black, you know, whole thing getting hot, you know, maybe too much so. And Cornell and Cornell's being yelled at because that's not my experience. I didn't see that. That's how can I get mad and angry, you know, about all these things that happened to me if they didn't happen to me. So then this guy says to Cornell something like, I forget, Cornell, you know, correct me or steer me the right way. But the guy says to Cornell.
No, speak your mind.
The guy says to Cornell, you're not a black man.
What?
something like that, right, Cornell? Is it something like that?
They say you're not a black guy because you've never experienced all the situations.
Yeah.
Because my parents, when my parents always shift me out to different nationality schools, and I hung out with different nationalities and everything.
Yeah.
So I learned to be in that type of culture, but just because I don't, you know, and I don't want to say it on the air, I didn't really go through it because the people that supposed to be doing it, they was my friends, if that make any sense.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I don't believe in color and people. You know what I mean?
Right.
White, black,
right.
Orange, all that stuff. People are people. People going to be evil. People going to be good.
Yeah.
But
like
Andy said, the situation that I went through and all that stuff, the guy say, oh, you're not black. You're a sellout. That's what he said.
Yeah, see, that disharmony within race is not helpful. How does that ever achieve anything? The reason racism and all this has been circling and looping for so long is, one, because we all know that the system is corrupt in the sense that you still have elements of suppression that does suppress certain cultures and races. We know that it exists, and that does need to be evaluated, and it needs to be worked on and changed because of history. History's always been there to say, yes, we've had slavery, we had all these horrible things that's happened to all sorts of races. It's been disgusting. However, how is anything meant to change unless we don't imply those changes ourselves? And we just carry on, oh yeah, well, you know, you're a traitor, you know, you're all this, you know, you're betraying your race. And it's like, what? That's not achieving anything. How is that achieving anything? It's not changing anything. You're just putting out more hate.
It's not going to change anything.
Yeah, you're just trying to reaffirm something that's already there that's not working. It's just not working. And there's no real unity of finding people that can, you know, come together to try and resolve these things within our cultures and make movements happen without all this hate and sticking in that vicious circle that's just not achieving anything. And that may be easy for me to say because a lot of people say, well, you're white, what would you know? I get offended, I get hurt. You know, I went through a stage of feeling so ashamed to be white. And then one day I stopped and said to myself, why are you so ashamed? You can't help that you were born white. You didn't ask to be this when you came into this world. You are what you are. However, you've got to start loving yourself and respecting yourself because you know deep down you don't see anybody as different.
And you know what's so crazy, Amanda? I was the opposite of you. I was the opposite of you.
Yeah. It's just, I was not brought up that way, so I don't see race as a problem. So, yeah, I went through that stage of feeling so distraught that, you know, white people get, you know, branded as the worst because of what's happened in our history. I understand it. I get it. I've hurt over it. But I now refuse to feel bad for what the race in general has done to other people because I'm not that person. That's never been my intention. I accept everybody who they are, and I'm willing to help people no matter who they are. So that's my
intention.
You know
what's so crazy? I'm glad you brought that up, not to cut you off. People say racism going on, and look at us. Look at us. Are we racist? Y'all supposed to be racist, right? And I'm supposed to be racist. I'm the coordinator of the show, and y'all the host.
Yeah.
Is that racist?
Well, I mean,
we work
I'm
as
sure,
a team.
I'm sure people will throw all sorts of speculation out there, darling, which I'm not even going to put on the air because that may trigger a lot of people's angers and stuff. But, you know, they could look at it several ways of how our situation is happening. Not that the fact that we accept each other, we get on well with each other, and we love each other dearly.
We love each other.
Anything, you know? But there will be people out there who are skeptical and judgmental. Oh, yeah, well, you know, Cornell's probably using these two white dudes to make a future for himself, or these two people are using him to, you know, get somewhere, and it's just like, hello? No, that's not the case at all.
No, I mean, No, Cornell has told me he's using us. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Yeah, I am. Yep. I am using y'all.
So I could get a wetsuit over there, so they wanted to be like suspended on this cross via a wetsuit. Somebody asked if they could put a Twix bar, the chocolate bar, in my butt, and then I would like poop it out, like eject it.
Oh,
and then they wanted to eat it. I declined that one.
I've had a guy ask me to sit on his lap while he pees, but I had.
Yeah, I am using it so I can get to the Grammys. By me being with two white people, maybe they'll look at me like I was, I'm down.
God.
You know what I say? It says if you create a problem in your mind or you see a problem, there's always going to be a problem. If you look past the problem, you find that the problem doesn't exist for you anymore. And that's always the case.
People always have their way of thinking, man. And a lot of people don't realize that. We became good friends, brothers, and sisters, and we all come from different backgrounds, nationalities, whatever. But by us forming together, we made one unit.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know
no
what else,
color.
You know what else has come about in the past, you know, 5 or 6 years become more prevalent than previously, especially growing up when I did, is the pronoun he, she, or male, female, or they. They is now a pronoun in the dictionary. And my youngest daughter, who's a writer in a newspaper and very, you know, very into, you know, social justice causes, and rightfully so. We raised her right. You know, she's really out there doing good, positive things. And regardless of her academic career and so forth, I mean, just socially and what she writes about and so forth. And so she was talking to me, and she brought up the gender ID, and we were talking one day about, an application or filling out any form identifying yourself as a male or female is totally inappropriate. What bearing does that have on anything? And I understand that. It's you know, male or female. It's true. And I understand that. You know, what's the difference of a male or female? If I'm applying for a job or doing something, you're saying it's going to make a difference whether I check out male or female. And now you're seeing what's accepted. I don't know how often you're seeing it, but I'm not in that world. But what you're hearing about is they, you know, a gender ID, which is, you know, I'm not male or female. I'm, you know, whatever. I'm whatever. And two things I think about that. In my opinion, now here, this might be the conservative old Andy Fuddy-Duddy here. In my opinion, how you were born physically defines your sexuality. So you know if you're male, if you're a guy or a girl, right? That pretty much is how now your intermind workings, and I understand this because I've got friends and friends who have kids who are boys and now change their names and are girls and so forth. They're just fine. They're great and happy and free, and they've expressed and they've, you know, wonderful and good to see. So I've got no problem with it. I'm just thinking about not the actual doing that, because I think it's fine, but the because you know your wiring in your brain, everybody, you know, your wiring is your wiring, and how you feel, you know, you're growing up as a kid or whatever is, and to hide that, I can't, you know, in generations prior to ours, you know, people go through entire lives all pent up because they felt something was not right in their lives the whole way, and they couldn't express it, they couldn't say it, they couldn't say, you know what, I'm more attracted to the same sex than I am the opposite sex, and. And once that's expressed and they get out that way, boy, it's like a whole world of weight comes off their shoulders, and they can actually be, and I think it's wonderful.
Yeah.
And it's a shame that it took so long for that to be, you know, expressed freely and normalized in society, and it's okay, you know, by many, not by all, obviously, but by many. But when they start doing, well, they, you know, but how you were born still, it doesn't suddenly mean that, you know, let's say I'm a guy, but I felt like I'm very feminine my whole life and felt that, you know, even though I'm physically a guy, I'm wired as a girl. And that's just how I feel. I feel wired as more feminine, so, you know, hormonally or my brain wiring. I don't even know how that stuff works. I don't know. But anyway, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's not a choice. You know, it's not, I've met people who say, oh, you know, if somebody chooses to be, you know, homosexual or what, you know, they choose that. They don't have to choose that. And some religious leaders that say, oh, it's a sin. They make that choice and we could convert them back. You know, well, bullshit. What the fuck, you know? You know, get out of here, goddamn. Anyway, so go away. You know what I mean? But anyway, so fuck all that.
I agree
shit.
With that, Andy, because you know my position on everything. You know, I.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I'm right in your camp. We feel the same way. So, but still, when you know when you're. Would you, being a female, check yourself off as being a male if you're in fact female? Isn't it physical? Right? You're female. I would, right? Okay, so this is where I have fun with my daughter, and this is fun. And this is, you know, and literally just tease her. That's as what a dad's do. You're supposed to tease your kids and have fun, right? So I'd be talking with my daughter, and I'd say, Karen, you don't want to go fill out a bank application for a loan today. Well, you know, making some kind of story up. You know, filling out this application, I was over at the bank. And, I'm filling out all the paperwork, you know, name, address, all that, you know, sex. And it says male, female, or other, or something like that. And I paused for a minute. Because, you know, at that particular moment, I was kind of feeling a little feminine. I wasn't quite sure. So I think, you know what?
Yeah.
I checked day. Fuck you. And she's like, Dad, she'd get on my case. She didn't even think that was funny. She'd go on, Dad. because I'm just thinking, what is the big deal if you're physically a guy or physically a girl? See how modest I am? I can't even say the words. You know what words I'm saying, though. I can't even see how modest I am. I can't even say those words. If you're a guy and born with a you-know-what, or a girl and born with a you-know-what.
Yeah.
What?
I'm just saying my
what
is,
what? What, Andy?
The male part or the feminine part. Yeah, right.
You know what I mean?
No,
see, that's how modest I am. So I can't even. Well, the real Andy, please stand up. I really can't even say those words. Anyway.
Please stand up.
But that's what you are. That's the sex that you are. Now, how you wired in your brain is could be whatever else. So I think that's going a little overboard myself, too. And, there might be a bunch of, you know, whatever marchers or feminists or pro whatever it is that they'd say, why should it be attached to your physical identity? Why can't it be attached to what you are mentally? And if you feel, if you're feminine, then you should, I'm a girl, then you should be able to check out that's my orientation as a girl, and I put a female, even though I'm born. I don't know. What do you guys think about that? Let's put that up.
Well, it's
515-605-9888 if you want to get in. What? I'm sorry?
It could be more than that. It could be the fact that these people are actually going through the transition of going from the one sex to the other and feel at that point so insecure of not knowing what to put down, whether they're classed as male or female, because they're still going through that transition. Then I can understand them wanting or needing that option, because it can be quite traumatic for those who are trying to make that transition. When filling out something that is so official that you think you're going to be judged by it or even accepted for the job. So I can understand why it exists, and maybe that's the only reason why it's supplied, so that, you know, people feel safe enough to say, well, actually, I can't call myself one or the other because I'm neither yet, you know, or I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just, you know, occurred to me that maybe that could be the thing, but I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah. I just think that has gotten a little... I don't know. Like, you need to put they on an application. I mean, can't you just say guy or girl, and if, you know, whatever. Just get it done. Just check. Is it really? I don't know. I could be wrong here.
My thing is either put Martian or human. That's all.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah, what if you felt like, you know, at the moment, I'm, you know, you're talking guy or girl. I'm not even sure I'm going to classify myself. Oh, I think I may have even teased my daughter about this one time, too. I think I did that, thinking back. I did that one time. is that I was filling out, I told her, you know, the time, I'm filling out, I'm looking at getting a new house, and I was filling out a mortgage application, Karen, and I'm going down the mortgage application, and it came to gender. I don't know why they ask it, and I'm right with you, I don't know, but it crossed my mind that the question that I felt at the moment, it wasn't appropriate to ask if I was a guy or a girl, but if I'm even human. Like, what's to stop somebody saying, you know, my ID is out of a chimpanzee, my ID is out of a coyote, my ID is out of a parakeet. You know? So why, where does it stop? There's not only the gender ID, it's species ID. You know, I'm feeling like a parakeet today. Okay. Polly, want a cracker? So why can't I march for the right to express myself as a parakeet? I'm marching down the street.
You can be whoever you want.
Exactly. So why don't we just do that too? Why don't we just say, hey, not only am I wired as male or female, I'm not even sure I'm wired as a human. So where do we, like, come on. You know what I mean? Come on.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, are we taking ourselves too seriously? You know?
I think I answered once somebody, it was something that asked the question, what country are you from? Or where are you from? And that's it. It was just, where are you from? And I put, mm-hmm. Earth. From Earth. I'm a human. I live on the planet. You don't really need to know where my location is. Just Earth.
Yeah, I've been trying to get back home for years.
Yeah.
Remember David Bowie's
Ziggy Stardust?
Do you remember David Bowie's Ziggy Stardust, guys? Remember David Bowie's Ziggy Stardust?
Yes.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
And Spiders from Mars, and David Bowie was born on Mars. Remember the whole the Ziggy Stardust album? And at the time, you know, people picked up on that, you know, David Bowie, you know, and, oh, David Bowie bisexual, and that was a real cool thing. Like, oh, wow, Bowie's bisexual, wow, you know, and the way he dressed and kind of feminine and stuff when he did his shows, he was amazing. What a talent David Bowie was. Holy crap,
marketing.
This is incredible.
Marketing.
Oh, my God. And then he came out with the Spiders from Mars and being from Mars and being born on Mars, and then that was the thing. And I go, this is back in high school, and I'm dating myself here, and, you know, girls would come out, you know, with the David Bowie makeup and say, you know, you know, I remember saying to what next girl, a friend of mine, and who claimed that she – and she would have serious conversation. She's from Jupiter. David Bowie's from Mars. I'm from Jupiter. But, and a real conversation. I'm, you know, obviously knowing you're not from Jupiter. But, okay, so you're kind of feeling like you're from Jupiter. Cool. So it started back then, really.
Yes.
We you know, we get to the facts here on the Andy and Amanda show. We trace, you know,
definitely.
When did it start?
Mm-hmm. That's what I love about the Andy and Amanda show. We are us.
Yeah. I mean, if people, I'm sure there's plenty of listeners who just get triggered by some of the things we say. And I apologize if that's the case. But I can't please everybody with how I feel, you know? And there's going to be
yes.
the case, you know, that whoever's listening, they're not going to be able to please everybody. And that's. One thing we've got to accept in life, no matter what happens, there's always going to be somebody you piss off who's not going to like what you say.
And they don't understand the background part and the technical part just to do this show.
Yeah.
Unreal. If people,
yeah.
if they knew. Yeah. You know, and you know, this is new. Oh, you know, this week I'm going to produce a one-year tribute at the Coast to Coast show here, the Andy and Amanda show. Coast to Coast has been on Block Talk Radio doing a show live for 1 year.
Yeah.
300. We used to be 5 days a week, you know, for a long time. As talking
never
about
never took a day off, only on holidays.
Yep, never took a day off. 5 days a week, man. Bam, bam, bam.
Even
and
on vacation.
Yeah, yeah.
We
and,
oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Remember, yeah, it was. You're right. And so I wanted to do, I just haven't had the opportunity to produce some kind of one-year tribute to our success in doing this. For your, and our numbers continue to go up, that we want to see them go up further. We do have listeners all over the world. Cornell, how many have we had this past month? We had like 11,000. What was it in the past month? Some incredible
man,
numbers.
We had some great numbers. Great numbers. Thank you, listeners, for listening in. And our numbers are great thanks to you. You guys.
Absolutely.
And we truly appreciate you.
Yeah,
I don't have the specific numbers, but it's very great. Thank you, listeners.
Yeah, they're good, and we have mapped off checked off countries on the map, I should say, around the world, from Australia and South Africa to South America to China to Russia to Iran, Iraq, Greece, Turkey, France, the UK, obviously Mexico, all parts of the globe. We have listeners listening to this show right now, and who also listen to our podcast, which is widely distributed on many platforms. And most of you do listen to this show as a podcast. You're probably hearing us now as a podcast in all likelihood. And we want to thank you for chiming into the show, although you cannot call it live, obviously, in a podcast. But just remember, and we should get this out there, on Mondays we are on at this time, whatever time that is, in your corner of the world, Eastern Daylight Time. A lot of people relate to that. Eastern Daylight Time, we go on at noon on Mondays. And we go on at 3 p.m. on Mondays, 3 p.m. on Wednesday and Friday Eastern Time. Okay, so at noon on Monday and 3 p.m. Wednesday and Friday. And you are more than invited to come in and comment and talk and share your thoughts, ideas, opinions, ideologies, politics, whatever they might be, whatever you want to talk about. We like talking about sex, but we don't have to. It's 515-605-9888. We can talk about whatever is on your mind, and we do value your voice. And your voice does, in fact, matter, and it's your voice and our opinions and our thoughts and our ideologies is how you promote change and how change begins to manifest itself within society. Things start happening. So yeah. Without a voice, nothing happens. So please share your voice on the show. Again, it's 515-605-9888. And at the times I stated previously is when you can call in live. So if you're listening to the podcast and you want to get on the show and be part of the show, you can do so. Again, Mondays, Eastern Daylight Time on noon, Wednesdays and Fridays at 3 p.m., whatever time that is in your corner of the world. And I should also say that if you are in South America, if you are in Australia, if you're in New Zealand, if you're in China, if you're in Peru, Brazil, you can get on the show via the internet. And here's how you do that. You send us an email at andyandamandashow.com and just say, hey, I'd like to join you guys. Or send us an email anytime, midweek, whenever time. You say, I want to join your show. Can I get on Wednesday's show? And send me an email and say, I'd like to join you guys on Wednesday. We will send you an invite over the internet that allows you – all you need is a headset and microphone, all right? It allows you to join the show from around the world over the internet, and we will send you a link, a customized link to you, which enables you to join this show from wherever you are in the world. You don't necessarily need to call that number. So let's – and absolutely. Our goal right now is to gain more calls during the show, and we want to hear more from people. We want to we've had a lot of fabulous – comments and feedback and reviews on the show. None of us are professional broadcasters. None of us are professionals in this medium whatsoever. We all do different things in the entertainment industry and in the production industry. So this show just came about with people who are committed to making a difference and who want to get out there and have some fun and create maybe some humor and generate a few laughs here and there, but also talk about some serious matters and issues of concern that are important to all of us. And we want you to join us. And we're also time for a commercial break. you can support the show and stay tuned for how you do that through Patreon, through a web. And Andy and Amanda Show at Patreon, or actually we'll put up the actual Patreon address on as soon as I get that on our website at blogtalkradio.com/AndyandAmandaShow.com. Yeah, tune in about 3 or 4 months. We should have it by then. But anyway,
our second anniversary. We're having it, guys.
By our second anniversary, we should have it. But it's time now. We've been doing this for a year. The show has been – I'm not patting us on the back, but the show – has been successful, and it can be more successful with your support. Without any contributions, then this can all go away. Like any public radio show, without listener support, it doesn't happen. Without your support, it doesn't happen. So we're going to ask you for a monthly contribution, $5, $10, $15, $20 a month. to keep this alive. Let us promote the show. Let us get the word out about what we're doing, get more phenomenal guests on this show. And it can happen with your support. And it's the Coast to Coast Show, Andy and Amanda. And also what makes us very unique is that Amanda Love, Cornell Butler, who put us together, who's on the line right now, and myself, we've never met. We've never met. And when people hear that, they're like, you know, you guys are something, are special. You know, you guys, wow, really? What a great show. This is like one of the best shows. Now, I'm not saying that because my thoughts are that, because we have no idea what we're doing. We really don't. But
no,
whatever we are doing, yeah, we don't know what the hell we're talking about. We are experts in all things, but the truth is that we know nothing about anything. So, but it's working. So it seems to be working, whatever we're doing. you know, people have said, well, it's like Howard Stern, you know, that kind of thing. And I don't listen. You know, I remember Howard Stern back in the 80s, and it was a great show. But I think to the extent that we're like Howard Stern is that it's conversation radio, that we talk about things that maybe we go in and talk about things in subject matters that aren't normally heard on the radio. You know, we get a little,
yeah,
well, you know, we have fun. We have fun,
yeah.
And we're real.
Yeah.
We're real. What,
yeah.
If we can't be ourselves, then what can you be? What can you be if you can't be yourself? You know?
This is
don't
true.
Listen to us.
This is true.
So, yeah, turn us off
yeah.
right away.
Yeah.
I advise doing that. But without support, this show's not going to happen. Without your support, we're not going to continue doing this. We really are not, because, you know, even though our numbers are healthy, they need to be greater for us to develop the time and commitment and put in the work that's required, as Cornell was saying earlier. That needs to happen to do the show effectively. And whatever we're doing seems to be working, and it can work more with your support. Again, like any public radio program, listener-supported radio does not happen without listeners. And as a performing musician, which is my real job, you can quote me on this. My favorite thing to see in the audience is people. We need more people. You're listening to the show. We need more people like you engaged in the show, to become part of the show, to call in and take part in the show. We can only do it with your support. All right. Enough about that. What do you think? Did I make my point clear?
Great.
Yes.
Great job.
Great job.
Now, yeah. Let's talk about this.
Okay.
The first, the second, the third.
This is the first in three shows that happened this week, Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. This is the first. Yes.
yeah, it really is.
Yes.
The first of the week, and it's always quite a mellow show to get the ball rolling in the week, and we quite enjoy it.
Yeah.
Sometimes we like...
Shut up and drink your gin!
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, definitely. That's before we get on the show.
and we've done, do we need to do the show? I mean, you know, we've all done well. You know what I'm saying?
You made $3.5 million.
I wouldn't go that far. You know,
no,
but we've done
no.
Because my I'm still
you
thinking.
You got to pick
to.
A fucking tattoo.
That's how we really
yeah.
do it. mm-hmm. yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I've never actually picked anyone's pocket. Just putting that out there.
I haven't either. not me. No.
And you do live very well.
Like you keep saying, I don't really. We live okay. We live okay. Yeah,
yeah. We're doing our best.
Yeah.
I got to check on my, let me see, make sure my gardener is doing a great job, guys. No, I'm just joking. Thank you, listeners.
I'll just check on the window washer.
There's one thing
right.
I want to get to as the show wraps up. I just want to say we didn't talk about the news this show at all. Guys, this has been, you know, the last few shows we haven't really talked about the news much, and it's been a lot of fun. You know, we're not a news company, obviously, folks. We don't, you know, present news here unless you're hearing what we talk about for the first time, which could happen. But we comment on what the headlines are usually, and we haven't done so the last few shows. And it's been such a fun time talking about sexuality, relationships, pickup lines, racism. You know, all these different things. But one thing I wanted to say real quick in the news, that Trump is close to being indicted. And some of you, I'm just going to cut to the chase right here. Here's Michael Cohen.
The district attorney's office has millions of pages of documents without the documents provided by Jen Weisselberg, without the additional documents that I am providing and have provided. The truth will always come out. To which case, it doesn't matter who your lawyer.
So there's documents being. That's Michael Cohen, Trump's former fixer and attorney. commenting on the fact that, Trump is, there's so much paperwork. There's so, they're collecting so many, their laptop computers, paperwork, documentation, tax returns in the lower district of New York to begin the process of determining whether Trump has committed any indictable crimes regarding tax evasion, money laundering, lying to loan institutions, lying to the IRS, and it looks like they're coming close. My prediction has been that towards the summer, you'll see an indictment, whether it comes from Georgia on election tampering or, you know, trying to get those 11,800 votes, whether it comes from New York. Also, a $1 trillion lawsuit has been filed against from an ex-con suing Trump with 75 other signatures attached for the all the hundreds of thousands of deaths that have occurred from coronavirus because he knew about it head on. But he didn't get an attorney to sue to file the lawsuit. He filed it himself. So it'll probably be laughed out of every court it tries to go into, but I think he's trying to find an attorney to take on the case. We talked about this earlier, too. Things we're going to talk about later in the week, and don't get us started now because we have to wrap this show up. It's been fun. Amanda, take us home. We'll see everybody on Wednesday.
Okay, on behalf of Andy Kimball in California, Hollywood, and myself, Amanda Love, somewhere in the UK, thank you for joining us for another show. Thank you to our wonderful coordinator, Cornell, for joining us again. We love you. And we hope you enjoyed the show. And if you didn't, I apologize, you know. And hope you join us on the next show.
I don't know.
We can only hope.
Tune in
right?
Wednesday. Watch how we go from this show, which you hated, to Wednesday's show, and you'll love.
There you go.
You know, they're sitting there going, you know. Yeah.
Right.
Well, you know, you don't like the show. You don't like the show. You know, if you don't like the show, you know, just like
if
that.
You don't like it, I'm gonna whoop you.
Yeah, see? Yeah. All right. Anyway, we'll catch up on what we were talking about today, talk more about relationships, sexuality, love, the news, I don't know, whatever else. Whatever you want to talk about on Wednesday's show. Until then, stay tuned. This is the Andy and Amanda Show. We'll see you, folks. Take care.
Take care. Awesome.